1, 2, 3.
No, we are the.
Okay, wait. Yeah. How does it go?
We are the 1, 2, 3.
Okay. Give me the cue.
Go now.
We are the 1, 2, 3.
Sore losers!
What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports, so I'll give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I'm pretty much a sports genius.
What's up, everyone? I'm Eddie, and I know the least about the sports, but I'm your average sports fan, your sports watcher. Don't know the who's who's, and don't know the what's what's.
And something...
What? Excuse me?
No. Sometimes when you work in radio, the big show takes precedent over the little show.
Where is Ray?
He had the big show. He had a lot on his plate. He's in a side room. Doesn't have time for the podcast because he's going to be here for hours working on a project that he was assigned. So we had to go groveling and say, hey, Morgan number two, will you come on the podcast again? Everyone loved you. So here she is.
Hi, friends. I have nothing, no information, no knowledge about anything sports. I really don't even watch it. The most I know is something that happens on Twitter.
Yeah. You're like me.
So I got to say, this guy, I'm in the front yard the other day, and the pest control guy, well, not really guy. I didn't know who he was. He's walking down the sidewalk, and I'm out there blowing some bubbles with the kids and, you know, kicking the soccer ball. And he walks up, and he's like, hey, man, how's it going? Good. How you doing? Hey, I'm so-and-so with We Get Rid of Bugs. And I'm like,
that's the company name?
I don't remember.
Okay. Very to the point.
He's like, and I'm just walking around the neighborhood to see if you'd be interested in getting rid of your bugs. I said, oh, actually, I'm great. I'm already happy with All American Pest Control. They do an amazing job.
Shout
out. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, I mean, just letting you know, a lot of people in the neighborhood are switching over to We Kill the Bugs. I'm like, yeah, but All American Pest Control, they do. They come quarterly. They take care of my bugs. I don't need anybody. I'm very happy with their service and what they provide.
So second time you've already told him.
Second time I've already told him. He goes, well, I mean, I'm just telling you, we're probably cheaper, and a lot of people in your neighborhood are finally making the switch to We Kill the Bugs.
Oh, that's the third time now.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, man, unless you're going to pay me to kill my bugs, then I'm good. And he goes, I mean, you had the Johnson family up there on the top of the hill and the Maverick family over there in the on that the street two over, they're switching.
I've never heard of Maverick as the last name.
And I'm like, so you think my whole thing was his buildup was if I throw out the Johnson family on top of the hill, that now that you say the Johnsons are switching, they always make good decisions.
Is that not a good technique? Because you were a door-to-door salesman. Is that not work?
I don't think I've ever told someone, well, your neighbor bought popsicles. Your neighbors bought world's finest chocolate. I don't think I've ever said that unless the neighbor said, hey, you should tell them I bought five. They need to outdo me. Something like that. But I don't know why he thought that telling me the Johnsons at the top of the hill switched. How is that going to influence my decision?
Dang, and it seems like, too, you weren't going to buy, so you couldn't get rid of him. Like, you tried everything. No, I'm good. You even went to the whole, like, look, if you're going to pay me, I'll do it. But other than that, we're not doing business together. How do you get rid of people?
Well, I usually don't answer the door if they come to the door, but I was in the front yard, so there was nowhere to go. And then he goes, well, I'll just leave this right here. And he had one of those what do they call them, door hangers or
what?
The things they hang on your door.
Okay. I think it's a pamphlet. Yeah.
I don't know. So he just here and he left it on my fence.
Just in case you change your mind.
Just in
the
case.
The
fourth time. But I just thought it was an interesting strategy. Hey, the Johnson's at the top of the hill or whatever. I'm like, I don't care.
I feel like that's a 60s strategy. Like back in the day, you cared what your neighbors did or thought. Like that was a very big thing, I feel like, before technology was a thing. That's how you communicated with people. Was your neighbors, your community. But now, in the 2020s, people don't communicate that way. People communicate by writing on the little neighborhood app?
Oh, yeah, Nextdoor app something.
That's how they communicate. Yeah. They really don't know their neighbors down the street, which, you know, that's a consequence.
You mean the Mavericks?
Yeah.
And the Johnsons up
like,
on the hill?
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Exactly. Well, that's another thing. Does he think I know the Johnsons and the Mavericks?
Do you not know the Johnsons and the Mavericks?
No, and A, I guarantee you those are made-up names. Right,
I've never heard of Mavericks as the last name.
He goes with a common name, the Johnsons, and when that doesn't ring a bell.
The Smiths.
Yeah, he goes with the Mavericks thinking, oh, maybe if it's a unique name, they'll be like, well, they're kind of cool.
Oh.
And it didn't work because I just was like, okay, thanks, man. Like, he left it on the little, his little pamphlet there and walked on.
Do you guys feel like door-to-door sales is like a sign that it's not a good company? Because that's kind of how I feel.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because,
tell me more.
I don't feel like really good companies that are having really good business have the time to go door-to-door. They're too busy and they're marketing other ways and it's working that the last thing that they're doing is getting a door-to-door salesman because I don't feel like door-to-door sales does what it used to do.
So I thought about this because I did get a knock on the door a few weeks ago and it was a not Ring or any kind of reputable doorbell camera company, but it was a guy selling doorbell cameras.
Oh, see.
All right. And I thought, well, no, I'm good. If I want a doorbell camera, I would just go get a Ring over at Lowe's or whatever. Or what's the other one?
Home Depot?
No. The other Ring door camera.
Nest. Simply Safe.
Nest or whatever. Some of the big ones I've heard of.
Honestly, I only thought there was Ring.
No.
Because whenever you read a story, they always say it was caught Ring on the Ring doorbell camera. They never give credit. Even if it's not Ring, I would assume that they're not all Ring. I bet you some of them are the ones you said, but no one ever gives credit because you just assume Ring. And you want to know what the crazy thing about the Ring doorbell cam is?
Please tell me.
Yes. He went on Shark Tank and was offering, tried to pitch his business. And they said, this will never work. They all said
but they
no.
do that. They do that sometimes, right?
They do make mistakes sometimes. Yeah. And they are like, oh, man, this is not good. I'm sorry, but I don't see enough people wanting this. There's not enough interest. The technology, can it keep up? Is it really any different? And boom, billion. They sold it to Amazon for $1 billion.
Crazy. Yeah. They're everywhere now.
Yes. I don't know anybody who doesn't have a doorbell ring camera.
You're looking at them.
I don't have one.
Why? It's the easiest form of security.
He says he doesn't need it.
I don't need it. You know why? Because I don't answer the door.
You know what I told Lunchbox? This is funny that he doesn't have that because I told him if he had cameras at his house, which apparently his wife wants him to get, right?
Oh, she wants, not cameras. She wanted, what are you? Front,
the Ring.
No. Just front door, front porch camera.
Yeah, cameras.
Cameras.
It's not a security system. Oh, whatever.
It's a security system.
I don't know.
So I told Lunchbox.
It's not connected to a home security company.
No, they are.
Neither is Ring.
They can be. I have Simply Safe and they're all connected. They can be. But you don't pay for a standard AT&T $2,000. I maybe pay $25 a month. It's great.
Got it.
The new technology is great. We can have that conversation elsewhere.
I don't understand. I don't get it.
But
how does that little thing see?
Lunchbox had come on to the show and talked about this crazy story about the squirrel attacking him. I was like, Lunchbox, if you had cameras, that would have been your moment to go viral.
Viral
you
video.
Got attacked by a squirrel.
It's not only about security. It's more about
it's
also about capturing cool moments like that. You ever see the videos where people are slipping on the ice in their front yard? How do you think they got that on camera? The Ring camera, dude.
It's just capturing fun things.
Remember the bobcat recently?
Yep.
How the guys caught the all on the camera.
Yes, but I don't need everything to be on camera. I think we rely too much on cameras. We're over cameraing everything. There's cameras everywhere. You can't even live life without it being documented.
What are you fighting? It's already a part of your life. There's one looking at you right
but
now.
But it's not recording me. I'm saying
you don't know that.
You
that's
can't even,
that's very true. You don't know that.
You can't even walk down the
There's
street.
One in your bathroom. Do you know that?
Probably. My wife likes to watch videos when I'm not home.
There, you just covered the camera,
my camera
with a piece
computer.
Of paper. No, there's another one looking at you.
They're,
but that's what
everywhere.
I'm saying. We are over-cameraing everything. You can't even go through life now without just being you. You have to be on someone's camera always. Everybody.
Well, you can't be yourself when you're on camera?
No, I'm just saying, I don't want people
to
be
do you have to put on a show all day? Hello, I'm a Lunchbox.
You,
I got a camera
on
me.
For me to walk down the street, I want to walk the dogs and my family, and I don't
just
want you.
Just know you're on camera.
I don't want you filming us walking.
Well, it doesn't record unless you want it to.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But why? What if someone's like, oh, you know what? I like that family. I'm going to watch that clip over and over again.
They do.
And they can do that. That's not cool. Get out of here with that crap. Sorry, I'm not for that kind of life.
I don't like swinging. But I don't understand, though. That's happening. So what are you going to do about it?
No, there's nothing I can do, but I don't have to be part of the problem. I don't have to be filming other people as they walk
You're
by my house.
You're not filming other people
You're
as
really
you
You're really
only
walk just by. Filming your yard.
Well, yeah, but you can film the sidewalk in front.
But you don't have to do that. You could film. You could.
It could literally just be on an angle at your front porch.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you can set the sensitivity to when someone walks into your yard, then it starts filming.
Yeah. Why? Why do I need to film the guy dropping off a package?
Not
front
that
door?
Guy.
Okay,
it's the other
I've had two instances. My front camera, besides the bird watching that it brings me, which is pretty funny.
Kind of cute.
Okay, Amy.
But no, my doorbell camera picks up.
She's been doing
birds.
It way before Amy.
It's just been on there, like chilling on my Ring camera.
That's funny.
It's not intentional. It just happens. But there's two instances. I had a drunk guy like blowing up my doorbell at 2 a.m. And I didn't have to go downstairs to look. I mean, I lived by myself.
Well, I hate to tell you, I wouldn't go down and look anyway. If someone's knocking on my door at 2 a.m., I look out the window or I'm not expecting anybody. Call 911. Boom. There you go.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. I don't even have to go. I can just look on my camera and be like, I don't know who that is. Call 911. I sit in my room, safe, secure. Nothing has to happen.
But what if that guy came in your house and murdered you? You have video of him.
Yeah.
Now. Because if he comes in your house, beats all you guys up, steals all your stuff or whatever, and you didn't have camera, you're like, he was 6 foot tall. He was he had brown hair. Like, literally, this has his face in high definition walking into your house. Like, boom, they catch the guy because of that. I don't understand why you're so anti that.
Hey, here's the thing. I've lived 39 and a half years.
It only has to happen once.
But
only
the
has
world once. Is right. different
No,
now.
It's not. The world is more safe now than ever.
Because of cameras.
There's damn cameras everywhere. Because we have too many. Cameras. I
guarantee you if there's a burglar driving in a neighborhood, they say, camera, not that one. Yep. Camera, not that one.
They're always going to choose the one that doesn't have cameras.
Look at that one. No cameras.
Yeah. Ain't going to that one. Sorry.
Ray, hit the gun. Oh, he's not here. Forget it.
No, that's the problem. They wouldn't go near your house because they don't want noise. They're not going to waste bullets on a dog.
Oh, gosh. Ray's not even here.
That was a startling noise.
There goes.
Guys, don't do that. That gives me anxiety.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just not for the camera lifestyle. I don't need to be filmed.
Camera lifestyle? This isn't swinging, dude. It's like, what are you talking about, camera lifestyle? You have one in your pocket right now.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No.
Where's your phone?
On the ground.
Oh, well, there's looking at you then. It's looking at your butt.
That's fine. But that's what I'm saying. But I don't need to be filmed by
camera
something.
Camera culture.
Like if I'm on the Real World or I'm on the Challenge or something like that, yeah, they can film me 24/7. But I don't need my kid walking down the sidewalk to be filmed by every person in my neighborhood. I just don't think so. I don't like it.
Yeah, but just know that the majority of the time, that's not even what they're looking at. Yes, there are creeps in the world, 100,000%. But 99% of the time, that is not what they're paying attention to. They're paying attention to whatever's happening on their... That's how people catch porch pirates. That's how you make sure your packages get delivered safely.
My friend posted one of this dude that stole his plants in the front yard. That's crazy. You see the dude walk up there and ring the doorbell, hang up, and then look at the pot and be like, that's a nice pot. And he gets it, picks it up, puts it in his truck, comes back, gets the second one, puts it in his truck, and he's gone. There's the dude's face right there on camera.
Why would you steal somebody's plants?
That's what I mean.
Well, my friend said that he's like, those are pretty expensive pots that my wife bought.
And okay, yeah, but like it's never going through my head. Oh, those are nice pots. I want to steal those pots.
I think he had planned it first. And then
you think he'd driven by and seen the pots?
Yeah. Yes.
So did he go back?
I don't know if he was stealing the pots or the plants. I don't know what he liked more.
I mean, he has to live far away, though. Otherwise, you stick them out, you're going to know they're your pots.
And then my friend said, like, dude, good for him, because those pots are like 200 pounds each. Like, they're so big. And you can see the guy struggling, taking them all the way to his van. Oh, pretty funny.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, but we're not here to convince you to get cameras. The whole point of my story was that this guy was selling an off-brand camera system, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no one's going to buy this from you, dude. Like, we can literally buy one for $50 down the street. No one's going to buy it. I go walk my dog, and you know how they put signs for, like, I guess they give you a discount. You put the sign in your yard.
It's sort of like if someone fixes your roof or siding,
you get a discount.
Jimmy's siding, and you get
So I'm walking the neighborhood, and like 20 signs are in the yard. Like, dang, this guy sold 20 camera systems to 20 houses in this yard. Maybe in my neighborhood.
So maybe the door-to-door still works a little bit because people don't think about that they need it, but when it's right there and presented to them.
They could schedule it, pay for it, and they'll be installed by tomorrow. Why not?
Well, I think it goes to show that it works better with the older generations because the older generations aren't paying attention to things on their phone as much. So maybe the door-to-door still works on that side of things. But somebody who's my age and they come to my door, I'm like, I've already researched this 10 times over on the internet. I already know
what
I'm getting.
Have you bought anything from a door-to-door salesman in like the last 5 years?
No.
Never.
Here's the question.
I didn't even buy Girl Scout cookies from a door-to-door. I bought it from a girl online.
That's terrible.
It was a Girl Scout
Why?
Online.
Why? Here you go. Old school. Tell us.
No, Radio Shack. I'm gonna tell you this.
I'm not for that last
one. One thing I think door-to-door salesmen struggle a lot more now is because no one answers the door. If someone knocks on my door, I just don't answer it because I know there's no one coming to my house. Like
you just don't answer it?
I just don't answer it. I'm not expecting.
But you look out the window.
No.
You just don't answer? What if your house is on fire?
Well, I think I'd smell it.
No. What if it's like in your backyard and you can't smell it? And your neighbor's like, hey, I guess there's a difference in the knock. There's a difference in the knock.
And then they would yell, fire, fire.
Yeah.
I mean, I would hope that we'd do that instead of just knock, knock, knock. So when I'm not expecting.
That's crazy you don't answer the door.
When I'm not expecting anybody. I don't need to answer the door. Like, I'll be sitting on the couch, and I'll have...
Well, you do have a really, really big house, so you probably can't hear the door, huh?
Yeah, that 1,800-square-foot house is just gargantuan, dude. Let me tell you. I can throw a rock from my front door to my back door, no problem. But, yeah, I can't hear a knock. And, I mean, I have the long part of the couch. I don't even know what you call it. It sticks out.
Yeah, it's where you can lay down.
Yeah. I don't know what that's called.
You know what he's talking about?
Yeah, I do. I'm trying to think of what it's called.
There's the couch and then there's an extender
the
where you put your feet
side.
On. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but I'll be there and my feet will be sticking out and someone will knock. I'll just pull my feet back.
Wait.
You hide.
Yeah, you have glass doors.
You have a glass window on my
so
door.
So they can see you.
If they're looking, but usually they're not. They're probably just kind of looking at their phone and knock, and then they look up.
I had it when we went for Halloween. We were trick-or-treating. I had to teach my kids not to look in the houses because they're immediately, especially my foster son, he was like, this is so cool. They open the door. You can see their whole house. So he sticks his head in the house through the door and looks like, ooh, nice couch. Like, don't do that. they're just
to be
open.
Fair, looking into other people's houses is very fascinating. I don't know why.
It really was to him. He was like, this is amazing.
I am down for that, but that's why I don't need a camera because I don't answer the door. So I'm sorry for the door-to-door salespeople.
That's crazy that you don't answer doors.
Yes. Well, why would you? They're just going to try to sell you something.
I don't know who it is. Could be my neighbor.
Wait.
Could
so
be anyone.
You said you're not answering the door for all these people, but why are you mad at me for not buying Girl Scout cookies?
Well, here's because yeah, here I'm going to tell you this. That is one thing that is wrong with this generation of kids.
Here we go.
Oh, I'm about to get yelled at by dad.
I'll tell you what.
No, is they don't go to door-to-door anymore.
She just said they did.
Yeah.
I have lived at my house for 7 years, and not one single Girl Scout has come by and tried to sell me cookies. The only time you see them is like in front of the grocery store every once in a while, or there's a spot in the road they just set up on a street corner where you can pull into a parking lot, which is fine. But what happened to the grind of going door to door? They would sell so many more cookies.
I'm going to tell you what. I did that whole door to door thing. Like, we'd have charity things through sports that you had to buy things, whatever. There is nothing about that that taught me anything. Like, I hated doing that when I was a kid. So, like, I could easily go without that and sit on a corner and still probably learn similar life lessons. You're interacting with people. You're making sales.
No, I like the corners. I will stop every time if I see them on the street corner. I'll turn around.
Are you talking about Girl Scout cookies? What are you talking about?
Well, girls on the corner, Girl Scouts, or the other ones.
I really hope you're talking about Girl Scout cookies.
I love girls on
the
corner.
I love girls on the corner down there at 6th and Main. Woo, dang, Betty with two teeth.
How much,
Bucktooth Betty, you know what I'm saying? You guys know what I'm talking about. She used to be a lot lizard.
Okay. Lot lizard. We learned that. A few episodes back.
Lot lizard?
You know what that is?
No.
Okay.
Tell her.
It's where women just hang out in trucker parking lots and they just go from truck to truck.
Yeah.
A lot lizard?
And they're called a lot lizard. Because you know, like those big old truck stops that have all the truckers camped out on the highway?
They're sleeping in the back.
Yeah, these women.
Back parking lots. I thought all those truckers, a lot of them had wives.
Well, they might. But they're not there. And Lot Lizard comes she comes a squirming her way up the door.
Why do you think the truck's shaking?
It ain't because the cargo.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, yeah, I could have gone my whole life without knowing that.
No, because now when you're...
No, because now I'm going to drive by one and be like...
You're going to be on a road trip with your family, and you're going to stop at one of those, and you're going to be like, guys, you ever heard of
dirty.
A lot
and
lizard?
And you're going to look at the women in the gas station
lot
like,
lizard.
Is she a lot lizard?
That's a lot lizard.
Yeah, that makes me feel so dirty.
I know, but you're going to think it, I'm telling you.
You definitely are, 100%.
Oh. Coach, okay. I honestly don't think that it's safe for kids to go door-to-door.
Stop! Why?
I just don't think it's okay.
Why? What is unsafe about not? Do you trust the people in your neighborhood?
I don't know. No.
No, no.
I don't know everyone in my neighborhood.
Well, you don't know.
Like my
don't know everybody at your kid's school, but you let your kids go to school.
My next door neighbor, literally, I've never met him. Like, he has a, all I know is because my boys hit baseballs in their backyard and they have to kind of go in the backyard. There's a little crack there that they go and get the balls out. But there's, they say that there's a door, a sign on his door that says, sick, leave me alone. And like, that's it. And I've never met the dude. I saw him one time coming back from the store with like a case of beer. And this was like at 11 o'clock at night. And that's the only time I've seen this dude. So you imagine my kids going over and,
oh my God,
I want to
sell
you some.
But they wouldn't knock because it says sick, do not bother. So you'd move on to the next house.
Okay.
Like, I can't believe.
I'd like to sell you some cookies.
Did you not sell stuff door to door when you were a kid?
I did. And I remember some families, never dads, all moms or women would say, come on in, let me look at your catalog and come sit down on the table. And I remember walking into that house and feeling awkward as crap as I sat in her kitchen table and she's looking through the little, well, that's nice wrapping paper. And I'm just like, what am I doing in this house? This is so weird.
It's literally the direct polar opposite of the whole thing, don't talk to strangers.
Yeah! And you're not, coach, you're 10 years old. You're not a salesman. You're not an adult making money. Like, you're 10 years old, have no business going door to door selling things.
And I went door to door like a madman.
And how did you do it?
I crushed it. I was so good at selling things. It didn't matter what it was, I would sell out. Guys, there was
like what? You had the chocolates. What else?
We had the world's finest chocolate with almonds in the middle. And I was wondering if you'd like to buy any. Blow pops, because my sister, the high school softball team, they were trying to buy a pitching machine, so their fundraiser was selling blow pops. I'd sell 2 boxes of blow pops a day going door to door.
Okay, let me just point out, though, this
is how much? 25
food.
Cents?
25 cents.
Everybody always wants to buy food.
Seventh grade, Spanish class, you had that big old fold-out thing that, like, a wrapping paper was $40.
Wrapping paper, that's what I was talking
about. The tin of cookies was $50. Yes. No one sells anything, right? I sold 100 freaking items out of that thing.
Just in your neighborhood, or would you go to other neighborhoods?
Well, when I'd hit my whole neighborhood, I'd go over to my cousin's neighborhood, drop me off my aunt and uncle's, I'd walk their block. I'd go wherever the money took me. I'd stand in front of the grocery store for hours on the week.
By yourself or with your parents?
By myself. They'd drop me off, and like with the world's finest chocolate, the extra boxes, I'd put them in the ice thing in the freezer. And when I'd run out, I'd go inside and get them out and sell them.
At the convenience store?
No, at the grocery store.
And they let you do that?
Absolutely.
So you would go to the grocery store and you would, can I speak to your manager and say, hi, I'm Lunchbox and I'm selling the world's finest chocolate.
I'm Jason Gibble. For Balcones, our Little League fundraiser this year, we're selling world's finest chocolate with almonds. And I was wondering if I could stand out front. Yeah, no problem.
So, and on top of that, I would like to use your freezer to store them.
Yeah, they would say, oh, you can just put it in the ice, you know, thing and keep them cold.
Oh.
Cool.
Oh, you're talking about the big box that has ice in it.
Yeah.
Got it. Ice bags.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Because it's usually right there at the front of the store, and that's where I'd store my chocolate. But like you said, it never taught you anything going door to door and selling things. There was one house, literally, I would, with that 100 item thing, I would go there, and she would say, oh, maybe tomorrow.
And you'd
go back
tomorrow.
The next day. And she'd say, oh, maybe tomorrow. I went back 5 days in a row.
I'll kill you.
And my parents, I was like, hey, Dad, I got to go to that house again today. I have to go to that house again today. And
so
my
the
dad
fifth
was like,
time you showed
my dad
up?
Was like, no, she doesn't really want you to go by. So the fifth time I go, knock, knock, knock.
And then
she bought something.
Perseverance. And that's like once in a blue moon.
You're so stupid.
But I am telling you, it is, I don't, if you don't trust
So what did you learn?
I learned how to sell, I learned how to talk to people. I learned how to negotiate on my feet. I mean, I learned a lot of, what do you call it? Interpersonal.
Yeah, you tell me. You learn to talk.
What is
Go
it?
Ahead.
Is it called interpersonal?
I don't know. You're selling me on something right now. So
interpersonal connections.
Yes, and communication, and how to talk to talk to people, and you know, discuss and explain your side of something. Everything. It's all that you learn as a kid.
But you claim that you were such a good businessman at eight
salesman.
Years old?
I had a job.
Salesman.
I had a job offer from Wrangler.
The jean company?
Yes. When you turn 18 and graduate high school, I'm hiring you as a salesman.
Okay.
Because I was that
jeans?
Good.
At the Western store or like where?
No, traveling.
Traveling jean salesman.
I do feel like if you would have gone into sales like for your whole career, I feel like you could have been a millionaire by now. Because I do, when you do talk, you captivate people by like just how you present yourself. So I do feel like you could have gone there on. You could have
made more money there than here.
Yeah, probably. I agree with that.
So why don't you do that? It's still not too late.
I mean, I don't even know what I'd sell now. Like, I mean,
there's so much.
There is so much.
You're an inventor too. You like to invent
I do try to invent things. But that's why just find it crazy you say it's not safe for them to go door to door.
I don't think it
You live in your neighborhood because you think it's a safe place.
But we also close our doors and lock our doors.
Oh, man.
I mean, right? We also lock our doors in our neighborhoods?
But what I'm saying is, if you trust your neighborhood and you let your kids play outside in your neighborhood, you have to think that your neighbors are going to look out for your kids. And that's why I have no problem with kids.
But what about your cousin's neighborhood? You didn't live there. You didn't know anything about that neighborhood.
But my cousins live there. If they live there and their parents think it's safe, then it's probably safe.
Yes. You would absolutely hope that. But the reality is not that. 99%
of kidnappings are by someone you know. It's not just
someone
random.
Someone you know in the neighborhood?
No. Ooh, when there's something strange.
It's usually a relative or close family member. That is, I mean, it disappoints. And so the online thing,
the only time I bought online, worst case scenarios.
This
we're
is what I hate.
Worst case scenarios.
I find it just lazy by the kids or the mom.
Do online is lazy? But isn't that how we sell shirts?
Innovative.
Isn't that how we sell Coach shirts right now? Or are we being lazy? No, how about you get a box of Coach shirts and go around the neighborhood and sell what?
Lunchbox's whole idea is working. What is it? Working smarter, not harder. That is working smarter, not harder. That's the whole point of that, is by just putting it online.
It's sort of like the kid that
you're being hypocritical right now.
You'd be in a competition with. You would try to outsell them when you're a little kid, right? And their mom worked at a big old corporation and would just come in and put the sign-up sheet and have people sign up. The kid didn't do a damn thing. And you'd be battling with them, trying to outsell them. And you're out hustling. And that mom just took it to work and the kid didn't do one thing.
Again, working smarter.
No, it's called, what did that kid learn from that?
It's called
nothing.
You're just bitter for someone that had a better idea.
No.
Make their parents do the work.
No, my parents didn't have a big corporation job.
How about the person that started a restaurant, a burger shack, right? And he doesn't have the money to pay for employees, but he's out there making burgers, flipping burgers all day. But then there's the other guy who's got more money. He hired a whole staff of 10 people to make the burgers. And guess what? He never goes to the burger shack because he just chills. It's the same thing, Coach, except one of them doesn't have the parents to do the job for him,
because,
and the other one does.
No, because that one guy got to where he is to have that money to be able to hire the employees.
What if he was born in the money?
That kid. He still learned how to hire and run a business because you can't get that far. You can't just hire the wrong people. So he hired the right people to make
the burger. You're missing
the point. No, I'm just poking holes in your point.
That's
what I'm doing. You have a theory, and then I poke holes in it, and then you say you're not getting it. No, I understand what you're saying, but what I am saying is, the kid learned nothing from that, and he didn't have to do anything. And they're like, oh, he's the number two salesman. He ain't the number two salesman. His mom's the number two damn salesman.
Give her the prize.
The only time I've ever bought online, though, is when Honey Boo Boo was selling Girl Scout cookies. I did buy from her just so I could say I could buy them from Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah, and she probably was the top salesman.
I have no
and
idea.
I hear someone you. Like different you all people pissed. Have different resources. But at the end of the day, the whole point of working is to work smarter.
Not harder.
Yeah, I mean, you're still working hard if you're working smart, but you're finding the best way to do something.
Here, when my kids, and it's time for them to sell something, I'm going to make
them ready now.
They're going to go out and sell it. They're not going to just make a post on Facebook and not do anything.
I think they could do both.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm going to tell you, I don't think there are a lot of kids out there selling stuff still.
Yeah.
Okay.
There really aren't. Like, Girl Scout cookies are the only ones I see. My kids don't really have sales things.
They don't sell stuff for Little League?
Not really. Little League, the parents pay like $200 a season, and then they're sponsors. They make a lot of money without raising money for Little Leagues.
That is depressing to me.
I think it's because they just don't want the kids out there going door to door. I mean, trying to
put themselves
in danger.
Well, the reality is the parents probably have to go out with them, and the parents are like, I don't want to do it.
No, they don't. That's what I'm saying. Guys, trust your kids. Let them learn
how to. It's not trusting my kid.
Learn how to opt.
It's trusting other
people. It's trusting other people with my kid that I don't even know.
Your kids have to learn to navigate the world.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah, when they're older, yeah.
How old?
No, when they start driving, they'll start navigating the world.
It's a little too late if you're not letting them out in the world before they're 16.
What do you mean? What do you mean let them out in the world? Do they play in the woods? Yeah, they do that.
How old is your son, your oldest?
13.
How far would you let him ride his bike away from your house?
Anywhere in the neighborhood. Just can't go all the way to the main street. Anywhere. Stay in the neighborhood. I don't care.
Man.
But don't go to the main street. Don't go where all the traffic lights are. If there are traffic lights, you're gone too far.
I think you can find ways to teach them similar things without making them go door to door. I do think you could figure that out.
I'm not saying door to door is the only option.
We were 8 years old and we were door to door.
But I hear you.
Yeah. And I rode my bike. You say streetlights. I would ride my bike from, I'll give you an example. Grew up at Palmer and Mopac in Austin. Anybody that doesn't know where this is, you're not going to understand. I would ride my bike to the baseball card shop at Spicewood Springs and 183.
That's far.
Yeah.
That's like what, 2 miles?
At least. And I'm talking, I mean, I would go everywhere. I'd ride down Palmer Lane to go to Sonic. There's Walnut Creek Pool that was at Palmer and 35. We'd ride our freaking bike down Palmer Lane for 2 miles to get to Walnut Creek Pool because it had the big diving board.
But realistically now, though, like how much bigger is it now, and like crazy traffic over there and a lot of development, a lot more people over there.
But you ride on the sidewalk.
I know, but when you were a kid there wasn't a lot of development over there. You're still really in the outskirts of town. Now, Palmer and Mopac, you're in the middle of town.
Well, I think the difference, too, is, like, I mean, I used to walk. There was, like, a little family video around the corner from my house. I used to walk there all the time and by myself. I was, like, 10 years old, and I'd go get a movie, and I'd come back. But I think the difference now is if I saw a 10-year-old walking by themselves, I'd be like, where's their parents? The society has changed in how we see people. So, like, if we see a kid by themselves.
You
want
to know what the problem is? The 24-hour news cycle, because people read the bad stories. There was just as many crazy people back when we were growing up.
I know.
We just didn't hear about it. That's it.
I'm not arguing with
that. Well, that's what I'm saying. We just have changed as a society as how we look at things.
I'm not more scared of people now. I'm just like, I don't want the risk. I'm a parent now. Like, if something were to happen to my kid, I would never be able to forgive myself because I let them go do something. Well, That's it. It would be terrible because I just thought, like, that's all right. They can go walk 2 miles and go have fun. And then they get kidnapped. Something happens. And I'm just like, crap. I made that decision because I thought it was okay for them to go. I don't know if I'd be able to live with myself with that.
Listen, I'm not saying I would be happy if something happened to my kid, but and it would be hard to get over. Yes, it's not like I want something to go up bad to happen to my kid, but I want my kid to be able to experience kid things and be a kid and explore. And that's what, to me, growing up, that's what I got to do, and that's how I see what kids are supposed to do. That's how they're supposed to live.
Isn't that how it works, though? Yeah. Isn't the normal what you grew up with?
Probably.
Like, you grew up that way? That's normal to you.
Yeah, it is normal to me. It's so normal to me. Like, I just think it's like, cool. I'd ride my bike to school every single day across Palmer Lane up to my school. I mean, just two different things.
Speaking of normal, where's Aaron Rodgers going?
Oh, man. Speaking of a crybaby and being normal and being a little baby, like being a brat, you acting like a little kid. Aaron Rodgers, did you see what he's doing now?
No.
To teammates, he's been calling their GM, Jerry Krause, making fun of him because you know how.
Explain to M2.
Okay. M2, you know who Aaron Rodgers is?
Yeah, I do. He's dating Shailene Woodley now.
They're engaged.
Yeah, that.
Yes.
That's how you know him.
He plays for the Green Bay Packers.
He's the quarterback.
And he's supposedly one of the greatest of all times. He's coming up towards the end of his career. He's older now. So last year in the NFL draft, the Packers traded up and drafted a quarterback who they saw as maybe going to be his replacement down the road. So Aaron Rodgers.
You
always
got to be ready for things like that.
Yeah. He's getting older. He's been in for a long time.
Yeah,
right?
He's like 38 years old, something like that. And he got his feelings hurt that they drafted a quarterback. And now he's pouting and he wants out of Green Bay. He wants them to get rid of him. I don't want to be here anymore because they didn't do what he wanted to do. They didn't tell him, they didn't get approval from him to draft a quarterback. But what's so crazy is when he was drafted in the NFL, Brett Favre was the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. And they drafted Aaron Rodgers pretty much in the same spot because they knew Brett Favre was on the end of the road and they needed to have his replacement. But it was all fine and dandy then. And here's the problem. You know what? Who doesn't make good GMs? Great players. Great players don't make good GMs. Go look at Michael Jordan. How's he done at evaluating talent as an owner in the NBA?
Not very good.
Awful. Because the greatest players are the worst talent evaluators because they have they're the top echelon because of their work ethic, their fight, everything. Whereas the middle of the road guy, he can see everything. He has to be good at everything, evaluate, see it differently. Whereas you're the best of the best, you just dominated. You didn't have to scrap. I mean, you had to scrap because you had to get there, but Aaron Rodgers trying to tell them how to run, and now he's over there making fun of the GM because Jerry Krause was the GM of the Bulls back in the 90s, and none of the players liked him. And they thought he was a little squirrely nerd, and they blamed him for all their problems.
To me, this is a prime example of, like, I'll compare it with, like, spoiling your child, right? You have a child.
Yes.
And you tell the child grows up thinking, oh, I can do whatever. And mom and dad,
you don't let your kid ride his bike anywhere.
And mom and dad are going to let me do it. All I have to do is just go, I want this. And mom and dad's going to let me do it. That's what the Packers have been doing with Aaron Rodgers the whole time he's been there. Hey, Aaron, you tell us what head coach we should hire. Hey, Aaron, are we running the right routes? Should we do other plays? Tell you what, you call the plays out there.
Hey, Aaron, when we get down to the 2-yard line so we can pad your stats, we won't call any running plays. We'll throw it every single time to make it look like you're the best ever.
Oh, Aaron, look at these jerseys that we designed. Do you like these? Should we change it?
Do you like this tint of green? No? Okay, all right. Aaron, do you like where we put the Gatorade bottles on the sideline? No.
Tell us, Aaron.
Yeah.
And then the GM wants to make a decision without telling Aaron Rodgers, and guess what? What's the spoiled brat going
to
do?
Well, to be fair, it sounds like they kind of perpetuated the situation, so it's kind of their fault.
That's what I'm saying, Coach. It's the parents' fault. Yeah,
I don't think Aaron should be making. Obviously, this is going to happen. He's at a different point in his career, right? But also, why didn't like the Packers along the line be like, "Hey, like, you can't keep doing this. We can't keep putting you in this position. You're a great quarterback. You're a good asset to the team, and you can help us with certain things. But there's also parts where we're going to draw the line. They never draw the line, so now that's why it sounds like he's throwing a fit.
This is the football culture. Like, you see it with Tom Brady. Hey, Tom, you're such a superstar. This is your team, Tom. You tell the team whatever you want. You run the team however you want. Even the head coach is like,
I feel like there's a little difference than Tom Brady because he got a whole lot of rings.
Hey, I think Tom Brady does a little bit better. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not saying who's better.
Hey, I think Tom, I'm going to listen to Tom. I mean, and to compare, but, like I was seeing online, comparing him to Jerry Krause is kind of rude. Jerry Krause won 6 titles.
Yes.
That guy had 1-6
times. You don't know anything about Jerry Krause? You want to learn? Watch the Michael Jordan documentary.
It's amazing. The Last Dance.
Yes, The Last Dance.
And this is the last time, M2, she's got to go. That was her last comment.
You
got to
go.
Oh, yeah.
She's got to go work out at the boxing ring.
I got to keep my aggression up. I have like 3 more minutes. We got another topic.
And then Terry Bradshaw came out. He said something funny on Colin Cowherd.
Oh yeah, he's an old guy and he has a TV show now.
Yeah,
right?
He does. Yeah. The Bradshaw, they're living with the Bradshaws.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
And he told him, he said, you know what the Packers need to do? They need to tell him, okay, then retire, dumbass. Like, go ahead and retire. We're not trading you anywhere. You want to play here? If not, kick rocks.
They should.
He's a commentator, right?
Yes.
So that's his, like, commentating to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, basically.
I feel like
out,
he would say that in real
like,
life, though.
He would say it in real life. He's saying, like, look, we wouldn't have done that back in my – he goes, when I was a quarterback, I mean, the Steelers drafted this guy in the 3rd round, got this guy in the 4th round. They're all quarterbacks. They're all coming for my job, and I saw that as, hey, guess what? I'm going to go out there and I'm going to whoop your ass. Like, that's what you have to think. I'm going to whoop your ass. Sorry that they didn't ask me if I wanted them to draft a quarterback. They always got a plan for the future. Cool. I'll just outshine them. And that's what Aaron, quit being a stupid brat baby. You're supposed to be one of the best of all time, and you're worried about this Jordan Love kid. Stop it. It's so annoying. But it's hard.
But do you agree that they probably shouldn't have babied him so hard along the way?
Well, that's the problem. Here's the problem. With superstars, with celebrities, you have yes people. Because you don't want to make them mad. Sort of like I'm watching 30 Rock right now.
What?
Have you ever watched 30 Rock?
Yeah, but what does that have to do with this?
Tracy Morgan's character on there, Tracy Jordan.
Okay.
He has 2 bodyguards, and they were always letting him win at video games, at basketball. And every joke he said, he would laugh and laugh and laugh. And Kenneth the Page hangs out with him one day and beats him at Halo. And he's like, what? I'm supposed to win. And then Kenneth's like, no, you're not that good. And then Kenneth goes, you just said that joke a minute ago. He's like, and he asks his entourage, he's like, wait, you guys have been doing that the whole time, just letting me win? And he's like, yeah. He's like, you guys are fired. You're fired. Because he wanted them to treat them like real people. But that most celebrities don't.
They don't.
They want you to be their yes people because they're the greatest ever. And you just say yes. And if you don't say yes, if you push back, you're out of the circle. You're out of the circle of trust because what you are supposed to do is elevate them. It's not about you. It's about them, and everything they say and do is right. And if you want to be part of it, you're a yes person. If not, take the bus home.
Do you feel like even like the truly greatest of all time have that?
Yes.
People around them?
Yeah.
Because I feel like some of them have like some really good humility. And the only way to have humility is you have people around you that are keeping you honest, right?
I feel like when you're at that level, the only person you can probably really trust is your wife. But sometimes even then, I feel like the wife is like in it for because of who they are.
Unless you've been with them, like LeBron James's wife, they've been together since high school.
That's different.
So that's different. But it's
so
like,
maybe LeBron James is the unicorn in this. He's the one that's kind of kept that humility. Do you think?
I think he's listen. I yes.
He's awesome.
I think LeBron James is amazing.
Yes,
because he has been in the spotlight since he was 14, 15 years old on the cover of Sports Illustrated. That is ginormous for a high school kid to be on there, and he has handled everything.
Pretty damn good.
Everything with grace, humility. He stayed out of trouble. He's done so much positive, building schools for kids. So there are the rare ones that are grounded and have that.
Okay, so who are the other unicorns, though? That's what I want you guys to answer.
Shaq.
Shaq's okay. A real good one.
Yeah, I feel like he's still really funny, too.
Yes.
So Shaq, LeBron James.
I
think Peyton Kobe Manning. Bryant was. Do you guys feel that way about Kobe Bryant?
He had trouble.
He had some troubles. Okay. In Colorado, there. Hotel room.
Oh. But I feel like maybe he got on a good path.
No, he did. He did.
Point. Okay.
But I would say Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning.
Okay. He's another one. Even if you don't like him, Tom Brady. I mean, he's done nothing bad.
Yeah, he's kept that family values really strong.
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees is a good one. Although, Tom, you see Tom out a little more now. Like, you know, I'd never seen him drunk before until this last Super Bowl, and then he's on the boat parade or whatever, and he's completely wasted.
I mean, he can't even walk.
They had to, like, walk him out. I've never seen him like that,
Well, and
ever.
Just as, like, an outside fan that just knows of him, I feel like that has to do with the fact he's not with the Patriots anymore because he had this, like, reputation to uphold and keep getting rings, and now he's kind of on, like, the fun part of his career.
Now he gets to enjoy it?
Yeah.
A little more? I see that, I guess.
I also think maybe he drank at those ones in Pittsburgh or in New England. But at the end of the parade, you're up on stage, and then you go backstage, and you don't see it. This, they're coming off the water, and a little bit more alcohol in the sun. You get drunk quicker on the water, and the waves, and everything could mess with them. But also, I think the pressure of, oh, my God, he's washed up, and he was so focused last season.
That's what Morgan number two is saying.
And he goes into Tampa Bay so focused, and he feels the pressure because he wants to prove so hard, and he does. And it's just like, wow, we won that Super Bowl, and just –
yeah, that's what she just said.
He let loose, yeah. And I love it. But yeah, so
but like even at the UFC fight, he was just you never saw Tom Brady at a sporting event like a UFC fight,
yeah,
ever.
And now he's chilling with his boys, having fun now.
Looks like it.
Yeah. So those are the ones. I mean, that I can think off the top of my head.
Deshaun Watson.
Oh. Okay. We don't know. No comment. No comment. No.
Well, we found a few unicorns.
I was just joking.
Yes, but for most of them, you have the yes people. The yes people. That's it.
But there are unicorns. That gives me hope.
Yes. Yeah. And that should.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Morgan number two.
Thank you, Morgan number two. Have a good boxing spar.
Yeah.
You fight people?
Yeah, five people.
Really? Like randos hanging out?
Newly sparring people, yes.
Hey, what? She sees people in the gym and goes, I want her.
That one.
Morgan, she just works the front desk.
You're going to pick the wrong girl one day.
No, I don't do that.
I must
break
you.
But let me tell you, that first time that I sparred, I was petrified of hitting somebody, getting hit. And as soon as I saw gloves coming at me, it was like fight or flight instinct so fast. I was like, nope, I'm at him. I'm like, I'm throwing punches.
So you went.
Yeah.
Did you win?
Which I didn't anticipate.
Do you declare a winner?
No, not when you're just practicing sparring.
But you know,
right? Is there any point you want to throw a kick?
Yeah, I mean, you just want to throw all your body, like, get off of me.
You can't, though. It's boxing.
Yeah, it depends what you're doing.
It's not
some
MMA.
Things you can kick, but no, what I'm doing, no, it's just boxing.
Okay, so before you leave, real quick, okay. So do you have an internal understanding of who won after a spar?
I mean, you have an idea. Like, this one person that I had went up against, it was both of our first time.
Girl?
So it's, yeah. Yes.
Always girl.
I'm afraid to go up against a guy that scares me. But yeah, both like she had maybe sparred somebody else one more time. So we were both very new, but like you could tell we both, you know, when you get a good hit off, I don't think we had a winner, but I knew when I hit her really good and she knew when she hit me really good.
Now question, do you hit in the boobs? Cause that has to hurt.
I mean, you hit everywhere.
Yeah.
But doesn't that hurt like hell?
I mean, like for her, I was watching her body and she kept opening up her stomach. So I kept hitting her in the
body
stomach.
Shot.
Right. That's good. But I'm saying, do you ever aim for the boob? Cause you know,
not intentionally, unless it's open, unless like their arms are open. You're like, I'm just going at it.
I'm speculating.
They don't hurt like balls.
Oh,
they can hurt. Not the way that you guys get
man,
hit.
Ours, okay. You can take
and
us
there,
out.
And
you
then
can take
out.
Us out for 30 minutes.
Yeah, no. It will hurt.
Okay.
And it'll be painful, but it won't be like it will knock you out from
watch,
the fight.
Let me show you. Let me kick you in the nuts real quick.
Stop it right now. Stop it right
that's
now.
So cool. Can we come see you fight? Well, no.
Well,
she has a match.
I'm planning to do the charity boxing match next March.
They couldn't find her
stop it.
Yeah, so I was supposed to do it in June, but they couldn't find me an opponent.
Yeah.
Oh, everyone's too scared? What? They're scared of you?
I don't know, apparently.
I mean, I would put money on you. Yeah. Straight up.
After I had like seen myself in that fight or flight instinct, I'm like, yeah, I have a lot more confidence in the ring now.
This is so cool. All right, go fight.
Yeah. All right, go fight.
Okay, bye,
go
friends.
Fight, win.
Kick their ass. See
hey,
guys.
On the way out, happy birthday, Patrick Turner.
Happy Coach. Birthday.
Yeah, Coach, today's my birthday.
Patrick.
33. Hit me with a shout out on the Sore Losers.
Shout out.
Listeners, in episode one, let's go. Happy birthday, Patrick Turner.
He's listened to every single episode?
I mean, everybody says that, but there's no way.
How many episodes do we have?
Like 26.
No. You load them up.
I don't number them, though. I used to number them in the beginning.
It doesn't tell you what the total number of episodes are?
Oh, it does. Now that you say that, I think it does.
I mean, I would guess we're at 500.
I would guess you're way off.
Like under or over?
Under.
So we're more than 500?
No, under 500.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
We've been doing this for 3 years, Coach.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying.
Maybe and we never take weeks off. Even when we do have a week off, we
how much did you say?
Around 500.
You looked.
No, I didn't. I swear to God, I did not look.
514.
Wow! I'm telling you, dude, you think about it. We've been doing this for so long, and we don't take weeks off because we record ahead if we're going to go on vacation.
I mean, we were so stupid in the beginning, though.
5 days a week. Like
it was
idiots.
So stupid.
But we were told to do that. We were told to do 5 days a week, and I'm like, idiots, we're like, no, okay, we'll do 5 days a week.
It was just too much. It's way too much. Way too much.
Some people still think, like, they'll ask me, like, hey, you still doing that podcast? Oh, damn, how do you do 5 days a week? I'm like, we don't.
Yeah, and people say, oh, you guys should go back to five days a week. As much as we love you guys, it was just hard. And it wasn't as good. We weren't as good.
And I love doing the podcast. It's just that when 5 days a week comes, like, you're literally thinking of 5 days of content. And you're like, we just don't have all that.
Yeah, it's tough.
And I do like getting content. Thinking about it, writing it down, and being like, okay, I'll save that for Wednesday. Ooh, cool. I'll talk about that on Friday. That's a better feeling to me for a better show.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
How about, did you see what DK?
Can I tell you real quick?
Go ahead.
What happened at my kids' baseball game?
Oh, no, again.
So I've always just called the coach's coach.
Okay.
I see him. I walk up. Hey, what's up, coach? Hey, Eddie, how's it going? Hey, Eddie, good to see you, man. Good. Hey, all right. Eddie, good to see you. We're going to win today, whatever, right?
Yeah.
For the first time yesterday, I walk up and I say, how's it going, coach? Hey, coach, how you doing? He called me coach back. And then another parent shows up and they go, hey, coach. And he goes, hey, coach, good to see you, coach. Hey, he started to call everyone coach.
I thought you were going to say, then he said, I love the podcast.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm assuming maybe he listens to the podcast and probably gets coach from there. But now he's starting to call everyone coach, even parents that aren't coaches. Because it's our go-to, you know, like if one of them's a coach and you see a parent and they're like, hey, will you go tell coach over there? And you don't need to know their names. Just say coach and it's the best thing in the whole wide world.
Yeah,
you know?
That's a good point.
You know, like, oh, a ball went over there. Hey, will you give me that ball, coach? Thanks, coach. And then everyone's like, no problem, coach. It's one of the greatest things in the world.
It's pretty cool. It's neat. And I was really excited, but then I really thought you were going
to
say.
I don't think that many people listen to our podcast, Coach. Dang. I really don't.
It's sort of like when we were playing golf that time and they were talking about those two guys, and you were like, oh my God, they're going to say something.
They said, I overheard them saying, oh my gosh, I was listening to this great podcast.
I was cracking me up.
Sports podcast, hilarious. And I'm like, oh, this is it. This is where he says sore losers. And no, he mentioned some other.
He said Jim and Chris. And we're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, sounds good, yeah, man. Jim and Chris.
Speaking of Chris, email, wearethesorelosers@gmail.com. What up, coachers? Just wanted to make sure you have an email to read for Wednesday's show. We all still love the podcast and want to let you guys know you have been killing it this year. You guys have us all cracking up and have some good sports talk, too. Keep up the good work, and I'll hang up and listen. P.S. The Facebook group is a lot better than those folks over on Twitter. Sore Losers Nation, Sore Losers Chris. Keep up. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, Chris is doing a good job on that. I did see you post on there, though, the other day. Like, were you thirsty? Were you thirsty? Were you fishing for?
No. What I was looking for is there wasn't many threads on the Facebook page. There hadn't been a lot of talk, so I just wanted to get people going again.
So you asked, are you still liking the pod?
That's it. Just something to bring people to the page so they'll start talking again. Because I felt like there was no chatter on the Facebook page. There wasn't a lot of chatter on Twitter. So I was just trying to get something going to get people talking again and get people interacting. And I was just bored at home. I put it up, boom. And
nice.
That was it. That was the only reason. There was nothing really secretive behind it. I wasn't thirsty or anything like
that. Somebody said they do want more UFC.
And I'm down. I love UFC.
I love UFC. It's
I even watch fight nights. I watch if UFC's on, I'm watching it. I don't buy the pay-per-views.
Oh, see.
But I do find out what happened, and I know enough to like talk about what happened. Like I didn't see the one where the dude broke his leg, but I saw enough.
He said the pain brought him to tears.
Coach, I came up with a great idea.
What, break our leg?
I just feel like there are 30 for 30s, great documentaries, right? They're cool. Yeah. What's the college show that he always talks about?
Last Chance U.
Last Chance U. All these good sports shows. Do you remember the Tyke? The one that's like a show about the little football.
Pee-wee? Yeah, Tykes. Cowboy Tykes.
Friday Night Tykes or something?
Titan Tyke. Tykes Titans.
Whatever. Great show, right? Yeah. I feel like the UFC needs a injury show. Like you show the injury of what happened, and then you spend like whatever the next month or 2 months. Because every time I see a fight, I start thinking like, dang, this guy's going to hurt tomorrow. I want to see what, and they don't ever, unless you do a deep dive on like, hey, how did that person end up with that concussion? Like, are they all right?
Hey, why are you telling, you should write this down and pitch it.
Well, these are our friends, you know? Maybe someone's a producer out there and has the money to fund it.
Maybe we can talk to UFC.
I'm saying like we need a show where we see what happens to these guys the next week, the next month. Like the dude with the leg, I want to see him rehab like Alex Smith. I want to see him come back from that leg and what he had to do. What happened to him 5 minutes after that occurred? Where did he go? To the hospital?
No, I just went back to his locker room, took a shower.
Coach, I'm talking get the cameras, follow him to the hospital, see the procedure go down, and then talk to him the next morning, and then see his rehab back. And then you have a whole setup for the next time he enters the ring.
Yeah.
Even this weekend, there was a girl. My mom never watches UFC, and she's watching with me. And she's like, you like this? I'm like, Mom, I love it. And my wife's
amazing.
My wife's like, we love it. Like, we watch it every weekend. She's like, I've never really sat down to watch it. So she sits down to watch, and there's two girls fighting. And it was an illegal leg kick where
the downed opponent?
The girl was down, and she just gave her a good heel to the temple of the head, and she just kind of falls over, and she's out. It didn't even look that hard, but it was just hit the right spot. She was out. And my mom was like, oh, my gosh. And they kept showing it over and over. She's like, I hope she's okay. Like, I hope she's okay. I'm like, Mom, this happens all the time. Like, they're going to be okay. She's going to be up in 2 minutes.
And you'd like to see how they are okay.
Well, she woke up my mom woke up on Sunday, and she's like, I can't stop thinking about that girl that got hit last night. And I'm like, Mom, that's amazing, because I do too sometimes.
And
you
that's
know?
Where the idea was born?
And I'm thinking, like, we need a show to follow this girl the next day. Like, what does she remember from that kick? We never even talked to her. When she goes out, we never see her again. They talk to the winner. They go interview the winner, but we never even have an update of like, hey, you know what? It turns out she's okay. It was just a little thing, whatever.
Yeah, I would like them to talk to the loser like they do at the end of like a Super Bowl or NCAA championship. We're outside the losing rock locker room.
It's all dismal.
Yeah, with head coach Mark Few.
Well,
so Mark, what'd you tell you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they played better than us. Obviously, we didn't perform the way we wanted to, but we're going to come back next year stronger.
I know the emotions are hard right now. Looks like you've been crying. I hug you guys. I just want to say thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you guys. All right, bye. Appreciate it.
But I mean, like, hey, Samantha, you know, you just got knocked out there. How you feeling?
I want to know, Samantha, did you see the kick coming? Where did you get your memory back? What did you see?
Do you remember that you were in a fight tonight?
Yeah. Like, what if she's just like, I just remember us being on the ground, and then next thing you know, I woke up, I'm in the hospital. Like, don't you want to know what happens? Or is this just me?
I think it might be a little too
graphic.
Graphic?
The Alex Smith documentary was super graphic, but a great story.
Right. But
graphic, know, but coach, UFC is graphic.
I'm saying the Alex Smith documentary took 2 years, so I'm not going to remember a fighter 2 years from now.
Because all you have to do is show the fight.
No, but some of these fighters are like two fights and they're done with their career. That's it, and so you never ever hear from them again. No.
There are a lot of them I watch, and they say before the fight, oh, we're excited for this fight.
Yeah, he's been out of the ring for 2 years.
For 2 years, okay, because of it. I want to see what happened in those 2 years. I want to see a wife being really upset that he won't stop fighting. He's just like, I have to fight. I have to fight. Look at your leg. You don't even remember what happened yesterday because your head's so messed up. I want to fight. I want to see that.
What's your name? See, I told you you don't remember anything because you've been getting bust in the head too much.
Dang, okay, maybe it's just me, man. I think it's a great idea.
I think it's a great idea. I just wonder, I don't know if there's enough draw. It has to be a superstar or a big name.
Does it?
Dude, I'm not going to watch Marcus Smith.
Who's never heard of him. What's his nickname?
If he's been in the UFC for two fights, and he has rehab, I'm not Marcus Smith. Not really
Marcus
worried about.
The Fighting Tiger.
Like
Smith.
If it's John Bones Jones that's coming back from injury, okay. I'd watch that.
Then let's watch that.
But a superstar has to be the one that gets hurt. Like Chris Weidman. Yes, it's interesting, and he's been around a long time, but he's old, man. He is old already. I wasn't even like I felt bad him fighting because he was already old.
Man, one of the coolest things when I was a kid.
And what's crazy? Did you know that Anderson Silva broke his leg the same way fighting Weidman?
No. Wow, that's weird.
Yeah.
Karma. Well, oh, hey, you know what was cool when I was a kid? When Rocky II came out, do you know why? Do you know how Rocky II starts?
Tell me. Oh, he's in the hospital.
Rocky 1 ends with the end of the fight, right?
Yeah.
Rocky 2 starts with them on the way to the hospital, okay. And they meet each other there, and they're still fighting in the hospital in wheelchairs. Oh, you champ! I want a rematch, and they're trying to get to their hospital rooms. Like, that is what I want to see. After what happens after the fight?
I gotta like that.
I'll never forget watching Rocky 2 and be like, this is what I'm talking about.
It's sort of like a Days of Thunder.
Exactly. They're still racing.
They're racing in the hospital.
And you don't see that. All you see is the race on Sundays. I don't know, man. I think there's something there.
You might be onto something. You might be onto something. I don't know.
I'll talk to some producers about it. What else you got?
DK Metcalf.
Oh, yeah.
Do you see this?
No.
This is awesome. So there was that play last year when he ran down Buda Baker from behind.
Yes.
And everyone's like, oh my gosh, he's so fast. He has accepted an invitation into a professional track meet this weekend where he will run the 100-meter dash.
Against real runners?
Against real runners.
This is cool.
I think he's going to get smoked.
Probably. But I don't know. I mean, you got to think, though, he's got pad weight.
Yes.
And he still hauls ass. These runners don't have weight like that. Right. I don't even think they train. Do they train with weight like that?
I don't think so.
I mean,
my whole thing is it's different from going still to full speed where he has a couple steps to gain the, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like he's already moving.
Sure. Well, he was moving in the wrong direction though.
But still, he's still, you know what I'm saying? Like you're already, and you have 100 yards to catch
momentum,
you.
Yeah.
You have momentum. Whereas you're coming from the
block.
So
blocks, he's trying to do a sprint? Maybe he should do a longer one.
100-yard dash. And it's intriguing. I want to say props to DK Metcalf for doing it. Like, I think it's great to get out of your comfort zone and try it because everybody, oh, I could be a good athlete at this. I could be a good athlete at this. But you don't ever do it. It's easy to say it.
Sure.
It's easy to talk it. So why not go out and try it?
Was he a track star? Probably
I don't
wasn't.
Think so.
He wasn't?
I don't know. Was DK Metcalf?
So it was interesting to see like these like players because we're talking about our kids and like, well, if they like basketball more, should we just focus on basketball?
No.
Or like, you know, they like football more. Should we just focus on football? You read about these athletes. They're good at everything. They played every sport. And then eventually at some point they just give up the rest and then focus more on whatever.
Yes. And most of these athletes will tell you, I'm so good because I played all these sports.
Oh, really?
Because it taught me different muscle things and reactions and how to, you know, you built up different muscles. And so I don't know. I don't know if DK Metcalf ran track in high school or what, but I think it's exciting that he is actually going to do it.
When does this go down?
I think Saturday or Sunday. Let me look.
Is it going to be on TV?
It's the 100 meters at the USA Track and Field Golden Games at Mount San Antonio College Track in Southern California. One of 15 men entered in the event. He took to Instagram and Twitter to hint that he was up to this weekend with a short video that said on a track, May 9th, written on the screen, and I can't wait. I don't know if it's going to be on TV, but I will find it.
That's legit. I mean, if it's not on TV, they'll
because,
stream
listen,
it live.
They have to because track, does anybody ever talk about track? This brings some buzz to track and field.
No, but it's on Saturdays.
It is?
Sometimes. Collegiate track.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's pretty cool.
That is cool. I mean, I'd watch it. You post the link on Twitter, and we'll
if someone can find me a link to where this is going to be,
I'm
would
sure
love to watch
it
live.
Put it up.
Behanza knows everything.
Yeah, he does.
Dude's a technology genius. Mm-hmm. All right. You ready to go home?
Yeah, done.
All right. Happy hump day.
Man, I wish we had Ray here to tell us how much. 2 minutes. 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
1 hour.
Or shoot us with a gun or, you
5 minutes left.
Like when we're talking about DK Metcalf and he's bored.
Oh, God. Coach!
That was scuba. Like, come on, dude. Like, that's Ray's job, Scuba. You get me, like, jumping in.
I thought that was Ray for a second.
Dude.
I got excited.
Get ready.
What?
Because I got to tell you, I've done a deep dive. I'm going to tell you all about this on Friday.
What?
Into the NFTs.
Yeah.
The moments.
Not in real or tangible.
Yeah. I spent an hour or 2 hours.
Oh, you're giving up? You're giving up?
No.
You lost money?
No.
You went broke?
No. And I started looking at other people's like profiles and what they've sold and how much money they've made. Holy.
Well, that's what they want you to do. They want you to see how much money people have made.
And like I will tell you right now, and I've always told you, I still don't understand it.
I don't get it, is what you said.
And I still, after looking at some of these guys' profiles,
I don't get it.
I don't get it, but they are raking it in.
Okay.
All right. So we'll talk all about it on Friday.
Let us know.
You're going to call me an idiot.
What?
You're going to call me an idiot.
Why? I already think you're an idiot. Why?
No. For what I, just some of the talk,
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Some of the moments. So, yeah.
All right, Coach.
You ready to go?
We'll talk to you later.
Oh.
What?
Hey, dear coaches, this is from Jonah. I just got a cameo from Lunchbox at the end of the school year gift as I round out my freshman year at Texas A&M. It was absolutely fantastic, and I wanted to thank LB along with Eddie, Ray, and the whole cast of The Big Show for being my friends here in College Station. Also, I did get to go to 2 Aggie football games, which were absolutely awesome. Watch the Commodores and Razorbacks get their insert gunshot noise if Ray was here. And as the number of people in attendance, it was definitely limited capacity. It's just that all the people happened to end up in the student section, so that's why it looked so crowded on TV to you guys.
Coach, it was very crowded. You can see the cloud of Corona above you guys.
Yes, because we always make fun of A&M games, but he wanted to set the record straight. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks for all you do, putting a smile on my face, no matter how hectic my school life has been. Your semi-recent addition to the Sore Losers Nation, Jonah.
Jonah!
Yeah.
Hey, man, thanks for riding in. That was really nice. And gig him.
Yeah, and you're a little late on football season. We could have used that feedback back then. But
well, when did you get this? You probably got this last year.
Oh, shoot, I got it in August.
Exactly.
Oh, all right, we're out of here.
All right. Goodbye, everyone. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Ray, if you're listening, you suck.
You think Ray goes back and listens?
Probably not.
No, probably not. My dad listens every day. He calls to give me feedback.
Does he really?
Yeah.
I would do this different.
Well, I don't know about that segment. I don't know.